Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
On the phone with us this afternoon, we check in with the superintendent of the FAU course at Indiana University. It's our great friend, Anthony Robertson. Anthony, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. How are you, Glass?
Well, it's nice you can get a minute or two to pop in and talk to us, but I bet you've been a little bit busy here over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
We have. The last couple of years has definitely kept me busy. With opening day and seeing golfers on the golf course has been a bit of a change, but we're excited about it, to say the least.
You should be. And for people that don't know, you came to Indiana University almost 4 years ago, and you were at the Bloomington Country Club beforehand, and you went to Indiana University. And when you got there, it was kind of the end of the old and in with the new. Was that part of the reason you left to take on this big challenge?
Absolutely. Heard Lynn that, you know, there was a possibility that the university was going to do something with the golf course, and kind of knew some of the people that were going to be involved, and they asked me to interview for the job, and fortunately I was, you know, able to get it, and it's been a dream ever since, honestly.
Well, it's not very hard to work with Greg Bishop, is it?
No, Greg and I have become really close friends, and one of the hardest workers I've ever met in my entire life. It's been a great, it's really been a great experience building this golf course with Greg.
Yeah, it's easy when the example is set just to follow along. But for people that don't understand what a golf course superintendent does, why don't you pull back the curtain for them a little bit? Because I know the hours, sun up to whenever you're done, and wash, rinse, repeat about 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's during construction. The construction crew worked at least 6 days a week, a lot of times seven. During construction, we were fighting rain quite a bit. We had some historic rainfall, and it was tough to get stuff done. So we just kept plugging away and finally got to it. But yeah, a daily basis, get to the golf course by 5:30 every day, just kind of getting everything set up for the day. Getting, you know, our ergonomic plan done, making sure the guys know where they're going, and everything is getting done promptly.
And how fun is it, too, to see this piece of land, 250 acres, 260 acres, that have been just essentially stripped down and replanted and rerouted from what you saw your first day at work?
Yeah, correct. So I maintained the old golf course with a team for about a year, year and a half, and then we basically wiped the slate clean and started again. But the landforms we didn't change. I mean, there was very little dirt moved in the construction of this golf course, and Steve Smyers and Fuzzy Zeller just did a great job taking the piece of land that was there and fitting a golf course into it. And there's really nothing that was forced out there. It was all there before. We just, amended some soil in some areas and built the features, and there it lays. You can still see the old golf course out there if you look close enough.
If you look close enough, that's right. But the new course, the FAU course at Indiana University, the superintendent is Anthony Robertson. He's our guest this afternoon. Now you wipe the slate clean, and you bring in the zoysia fairways and the bent grass greens and the fescue and everything else that goes along with it. Who determines how wide those fairways are? Who determined how big those green complexes would be? You were involved in those decisions. Tell us how we got to the course literally being planted and ready for play.
Well, Greg and Steve started the project several years before I became involved with IU Athletics and the FAU course. They had a lot of different routings. I was fortunate enough to walk the property several times with those guys, and we definitely had a lot of input on, where stuff is going to be and what, what landforms are really trying to focus on and take people to. Steve described it as a journey through several different landscapes, and I think we really provided that out there. I was pretty instrumental. Anybody that knows me, I'm kind of a zoysia grass guy. And I was pretty emphatic that that's the grass we selected for the fairways. And We did a trial of about 25 different Bengrasses and then finally selected T1 as the Bengrass we were going to use on the putting surfaces.
Okay.
And we have HGT, Kentucky Bluegrass on tees and the first cut of rough. Then we've got a blend of fine fescues in the next cut. And then there's some outer rough where we planted a lot of native prairie grasses and like Blackwell switchgrass and big blue stem. And we've got some really beautiful 6 and 7 foot high grass plants with lots of color that, you know, changes the depths. And we're happy with the grassing plan.
The grasses that you just mentioned are much more visually inducing than golfing inducing, because you don't want your ball that they are for beauty only. So stay out of that stuff. But Zoysia makes sense here. We've seen the city. We know the country clubs had it for years. The Zoysia fairways now are being replaced with the fairways of the city courses because they don't need a lot of water. They're essentially a weed, and they keep other grasses out. They're handy for this climate. Isn't that the key to it, where we are on the climate belt?
Absolutely. We have to solve this. The friendly golf is on this property before. Grass is really part of that. We can back water, fertilizer inputs. I know at the Bloomington Country Club, they've put zero nitrogen on their fairways this year. I'm still kind of in a grow-in situation. I'm trying to get some stuff to knit together. But I think that's quite a feat. You know, a lot of golf courses are putting 4 or 5 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. He can get that color with just a little bit of iron, and it's a great grass for us.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it keeps your chemical costs down, helps you environmentally and everything else. You went through all the styles of bent grass for the greens and settled on T1. Again, part of that's due to climate, because we can't always grow Bermuda this far north, and bent grass really, it can handle the colder temperatures.
Yeah, absolutely. Valhalla has T1 on their greens, and I spent some time with the superintendent down there talking to him about why they liked it. If you've been on the golf course at Valhalla, they've got some really tough areas. You know, they've got some low-lying areas where there's not a lot of air movement. And just for us, you know, trying to be economically sustainable and environmentally sustainable, I just saw this as a really tough bent grass that, you know, would take some punishment, but bounce back, you know, cut the water back a little bit. Because the goal of this golf course is for it to play hard and fast. I mean, I know everybody sees 7,908 yards, but in reality, the golf course, it's a driving accuracy golf course. And, you know, Steve really wanted to focus on that to help make the Indiana University players better, and just a place to grow the game. So we're excited about it.
And the other great part about the weather in this part of the world, you have 6 different sets of tees, and you can move, obviously, based on the weather, which can change in hours here in the Midwest. If you have a 3-day event, you're not pigeonholed into one distance where it could play 8,400 yards one day because of non-prevailing wind.
Absolutely, and that's the big thing. I mean, Coach Mayer and Coach Dedonis and Coach Wallman and Coach the women's coach as well spent a lot of time looking at the golf course, and they just see an unbelievable amount of variety where they can play based on weather conditions. And, you know, we've only got 4 sets of tees out right now, but, you know, there's the opportunity to put 6 different tee markers out, and, you know, really, you can make your own golf course. You know, I think as people get to play it more and look at the scorecard and kind of get the lay of the land, they'll figure out that there's so much variety, you're never going to play the same golf course twice. That's something we're really proud of.
That is exciting, because it won't get the monotony, the boredom, or whatever else. Did COVID-19, as tragic as it's been and as inconvenient as it's been, did it help you to allow this course to grow in where you didn't have to hurry up and try to tell people, well, hey, please wait, we'd love this to grow in another 6 months? Did that help in the long run?
You know, COVID-19 affected us a little differently. You know, we wanted to do everything we could to keep our employees safe, everybody safe. So there was a period of 6 weeks where it was Greg Bishop and I and our mechanic, Tim Kinzer, trying to maintain that beast. And it was tough, but it definitely gave us some time to let some things grow in. And, you know, every golf course opens too early, but I think we really got it right with this one. And I've still definitely got some areas I need to grow in, and no golf course is ever finished, at least in a guy like me's mind. So, but I'm happy with the product we had the first week. We got a little behind on trimming some natives down, but we've got some more stuff trimmed back so people can really play it and I think experience the golf course and have a good time.
What's the feedback been agronomically from the players here that you've had in the last few weeks?
Really positive. I mean, everyone is really happy with the putting surfaces. You know, we really focus right down the middle. We're, you know, trying to get the golf course playing as fair as we can and make sure everybody's, you know, greens. Everybody wants to talk about the greens when the round is done. But I think agronomically it's been good. I think people understand we've had some challenges, but I think they see it getting better, you know, just in the from day one to now, you know. So this is something that's going to be improving for a long time.
And obviously we'll keep an eye on the governor's statements and Indiana University statements about increased tee times and opening of the clubhouse and things like that. But right now you need to go to the website before you go because it's not everything 100% open, correct?
Correct. You know, we've got some restrictions. Our golf professional, Jimmy St. John, has really worked his butt off to make sure IU Athletics and us at the golf course is doing this right. We appreciate all his hard work on it. We want to keep our people safe, and golf is something where we can properly social distance and do that. And the university's been great to work with to help us out, to get us the things we need to make those things happen. And we're just excited about it. Very rarely in the golf business is demand higher than supply, which is the case right now. But, you know, we smile about it, and I think there's going to be more opportunities to play, obviously, as time goes forward.
Well, great job, Anthony. We really appreciate the insight and your time this afternoon. We know how busy you are. I'm going to bother you in early August, right before the kids get back, to see what your plan's going to be for doing that. So have a great summer, a safe 4th of July, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much, Les. Appreciate you, bud.